Well, we've been in a series, Strong in Spirit, but then we had Mother's Day, and Shelley spoke that day, and then, of course, we had Regina last week, so we're going to go in a little bit different direction today, and we'll hook back up with our series. But today, I felt like we should go in a little bit different direction. Why don't you just look on your sheet there? Well, they'll put it up. Jeremiah 1:12. Why don't you go ahead and turn over to James 1. James 1 and Hebrews 6. James 1 and Hebrews 6. We'll look at those. James 1 and Hebrews 6. But then we're going to look, if you could put up Jeremiah 1:12 on the screen, Isaac. So Hebrews 6, James 1. Go to those next. Jeremiah 1:12. It says, "Then the Lord said to me, 'You have seen well, for I am ready to perform my word.'" I'm going to read a little bit about what's before that here, but the second part of that verse says, "I am ready to perform my word." Who's saying that?
God.
He says, "I'm ready to perform my word." I'm ready to perform my word. Sometimes I think we have the notion in Christian circles that somehow we're trying to talk God into doing His word. Or in our lives. "Well, I know what His word says, but I just don't know what's going on with God." That's not what this says. He said, "I'm ready." When you're ready to do something, what does that mean? Does that mean, you know, in 3 weeks you'll get to it? Who's that? Oh, that's that back there? Okay, so I'm not messing with anything up here. Good. I was like, I didn't move. How did that happen? Good. You know when, maybe you have the same experience. You know, if you're trying to get out of the house to go somewhere, what does it mean to be ready to go? That means you could actually leave the house now, right? If you say, "I'm ready," okay, let's go. Oh, wait, I gotta, wait, that wasn't ready.
Right.
You know? And we've all been guilty of it, right? You ready? Oh, wait, I mean, I'm ready, but I'm not ready. Yeah, I'm mostly ready. I was gonna do that right before we left. On the way out. "Wait, I gotta go to the bathroom." Well, that's not ready. That's okay. You know, when you have kids, you learn, and you sometimes forget. This is an important question to ask, especially when they're little. Have or do you need to go to the restroom before we leave? Because if you don't ask that, you're just going to need to pull over before you wanted to, right? And if you know, as the parent, if we're ready to go, and then I realize, oh, we didn't ask, and then I ask them to go to the back, now they got to go back in, and I got 4 kids, so it could take a little while. That's my fault. But the thing is, part of being, when you're ready, and you're really ready, that means now. If you're ready, that means now, whatever you say you're ready for could happen, right? They talk about that, you know, succession plans, like, you know, in where I work. And so when they talk about somebody being ready, they're not talking about availability. Like if somebody leaves and somebody else has to step in or something, it's not whether you're available. It's like, could you actually do the job? Those are two different things, right? Well, you know, I'm ready. That means you could sit in the chair. That's not the same as actually being able to perform, right? So ready, people use ready all the time, and a lot of times we got to be careful. Sometimes we think we're ready. We're going to get into some stuff here. I don't know exactly what all we're going to do. But let's just say this. Sometimes we think we're ready and we're waiting on God. Do you know that's never the case?
Right.
If you're ready and you've done what your part is, you're not waiting on Him. I'm not waiting on Him. It is never. He never moves out of turn.
Right.
And He is never late.
Right.
Period. So if we think we're waiting on Him, guess what? We're wrong. It's not true. Well, I just don't know why God hasn't. That doesn't line up with this. He said He's ready to do what He said He's going to do. Period. He's ready. And when it says He's ready, that means He's ready. Doesn't mean, oh, wait, now you asked me, wait, we'll go get back to you in 10 years. I was just ready for you to ask. I wasn't ready to actually do anything about it. Tell me how long God's been around. Forever. So He already knew what you were going to ask before you asked it and what I asked, right? So it's not about, well, He's got to figure out now how to address what you asked. Or this thing that He already promised in His Word or told you what in your life, that somehow now He needs some time to get it all worked out. That's not the case. I said that's not the case. He's ready. Everybody say, God's ready.
God's ready.
Say it again.
God's ready.
Now. He's ready now. You're not going to get ready. He's ready. Go ahead and look at James 1. You turn there. James 1, 16. It says, "Do not be deceived, brethren, my beloved, or do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." Every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. He said, do not be deceived, brethren. He said, he's telling the people, don't be deceived. God is good. Every good thing comes down from Him. He said, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. That means He does not change. God does not change. He does not change. He doesn't change His mind on His perfect will for people. Now you see Him in different areas. We're not going to get into this. There's certain things He said, this is going to happen. And then somebody repents and does something, and He says, all right, that's not going to happen. This is what's going to happen. He was decreeing, this is going to happen. You stay on this path, this is what's going to happen. But you repent, and you see that. But God's will didn't change. His will was always for good. He does not change. And if He decrees something, if He says, this is going to happen, in your life, that is His will, and it does not change. In His Word, in the written Word, what He said, it does not change. His will for you, we have it. You don't have to guess about it. It is in this Word, and then He can lead you and guide you through His Spirit. But what He's told you and decreed, His will for you does not change, regardless of what you see, regardless of the passage of time, regardless of circumstances, God's will did not change. His will is good for all. Look at Hebrews 6. Hebrews 6, verse 17. It says, thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his oath, confirmed it by an oath, or his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, unchangeable, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. Notice the phrase, it is impossible for God to lie. Everybody say impossible.
Impossible.
What does impossible mean? It means it's not possible. Well, this is not possible. Now you see in the Bible where it say, with men, certain things are impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Well, it's not possible for him to lie. If he lied, everything would blow apart. The Bible says everything is upheld by the word of his power. If God were to not keep his word, the whole underpinnings of the universe would blow apart. It's impossible. He does not lie. He does what he said he would do. Period. Let's look on your sheet at Titus. We're just going to read some verses along this line. Titus 1, verse 1. It says, Paul, a bondservant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth which accords with godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie. Notice that. We see impossible. He cannot lie. Everybody say cannot.
Cannot.
If you cannot do something, what does that mean? You cannot do it. Now, you may think you can't do something, and you just, well, I just can't do it, but you can. That's not this. God cannot lie. Just think about that. It's not a possibility. We're talking about a being that is immovable. He's the very foundation of the world. We talk about stability. The word stability doesn't even begin to describe God. He is the rock. The Bible said there's no variation. There's no shadow of turning with him. Think about it. He has always been. He is. The Bible says he is the great I am. He is. Not was. Not going to be different. Oh, well, you know, it's 2018. So, 2018, do you know how small of a number that is relative to infinity? He has always been. You think he's surprised by some of the stuff we think, the challenges we face? He's always seen. He always knew. He has always been. Our minds crash when we try to think about it. We are not built to think about eternity. We can't. It doesn't make any sense to us. Our brain says everything has to have a start. Right? Well, surely, God cannot have always existed. Says who? We've been on the planet how long? A few decades, and we're going to say everything has to have a start with authority? Says who? Is it possible we don't know certain things? God was there at the beginning of what we see. He made it. And he was there before it. And we don't know all that's come before us. We don't. Bible talks about a few things, but we don't know everything. And we get a glimpse of what's going to come ahead. But what we need to know is that we are serving a God that is infinitely stable. And what He says is true. And it's right. Regardless of what you and I see or know or have figured out. Regardless if it makes sense to our limited, finite mind, regardless of what we think we can perceive and run tests on, God is stable, and His Word is true. And when He says something, you and I can bank on it. It is true, and when the dust settles, He's right. There's maybe a lot of noise on this earth, a lot of people, unbelievers, making a lot of noise, defying God. There is no God. How can you say that? How could any intelligent person say that? You been everywhere in the universe? We haven't been hardly anywhere. We can see a certain distance, but that's dated. That's old information. We haven't been anywhere. How can somebody stand up and say there's no God? A person that's been on the earth for a few decades gonna say, I know what's out there, and I know what happened before. Really? How? Tell me how. How can we know just in our own experience? We can't. I'm sorry, you can't run a test either. Because you don't have a lab environment that's set up like it was a million years ago. Do we? Seriously, you're going to run a real experiment? You got to be able to duplicate it. Anybody can do that? No. But God was there. And He cannot lie. And as believers, either we take His word. Does this mean what it says it means or not? Cannot lie. It's impossible. That means what He said, it's right. We'll get back into some of this. Turn over, look at 2 Peter 3, verse 1. This okay this morning? 2 Peter 3, verse 1. One of the last scriptures on your sheet, but we'll go there. Glory to God. It says, Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, Where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Now let's just stop right there. Do people say things like this? What? It's all, you said Jesus is going to come back. You said there's a heaven and a hell. What? It's always been like this. That's just religions. Those are created by men. Do people say things like this? Oh, yeah. What are you talking about? You people, you've been saying that for years. When's it going to happen, huh? They're not mocking you. They're mocking Him. And He cannot lie. Now, this isn't the main where I believe we're going to get in a few other things, but do we know who we're dealing with, who is our Father? He is the Creator. Yeah, there's going to be unbelievers. There'll be people that don't take Him at His word. We cannot be swayed by that. We got to make up our minds. God's right. I didn't say men are all right. That's why anything I say, anything you hear anybody preach or teach, it's got to go back to the Word. Otherwise, It's not on the same ground as this. The Word of God is what's going to stand, not men's doctrines and not men's opinions and not men's quote-unquote theology. Yeah, that's called religion, and there are a lot of them around the world. I wonder, somebody somewhere started. We talked about Noah in the offering. Everybody in here is a descendant of Noah. You know what the world says? That's not true. That's a fable. Is God real or not? That happened. So where did all the religions come from? Men's ideas. Somebody decided, just like today, you know, you had Noah, you had his three sons and their families. Well, they're going to live life. Don't think it was just so much different. I mean, yes, the world looked different than it did now, and he only had eight people in the world at that point. And you didn't have the technology, do not. But you don't make no mistake, people are people. So they get busy with life. You say there was not, hey, they had to work the ground and they were busy. They couldn't go down to Stop and Shop and get their groceries. Everything, imagine, there was no infrastructure. Crazy, talk about pioneers. So they're living life. Well, people go and get into stuff and it begins to fade in their memory. You think, how is that possible? Well, they had children. Children weren't on the boat. They didn't see the flood. And then those children had children. And this is just something great-grandpa told us. Well, he's gone. And it just keeps going, children. Pretty soon, it's back just a story, just an account we were told. And after there's people, and all, you know, it's populated, and they start seeing people around them, how do we know that's true? And people decide they're not going to believe what was passed down to them. They're going to do it a different way. And people do this all the time. It's called rebellion. We don't believe that. We believe this. And religion's born. And there are a whole lot of them in the earth. But they all started the same way. And not based on the Word of God. They're men's ideas. But is there a real? Is there a God? And does he know you and know me as his child? If you've believed on Jesus, his son, that God that cannot change, that knew, he saw all this, he knows the future. The Bible says he knows the end from the beginning. He is our Father. And he does not change. He sees everything that's going on. He sees what's going on in your life. He sees what's going on in the world. Yet he already decreed this is what's going to happen. God, I mean, he's not controlling everything. Don't get me wrong. That's another topic. And we've talked about that. He is not controlling you and me. He is not controlling people on the planet. He is not controlling everything that happens. Otherwise, he has this place in a mess. How could we ever say he is controlling people and they murder? No, that's blasphemy. No, the reason we see all this junk is because people have a free will. But that doesn't change God's will and what is going to happen on the earth. The question is, who's going to be involved with it? Are we going to be involved with what he's doing? Because his will is going to come to pass. It's a matter of who's going to be involved. So go ahead and read the rest of this. Let's go back to verse 3. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. It's just going to keep going. It's always been like this. Says who? The Bible says it hasn't always been like this. It has not always been like it is now. It changed. Big time. Well, it's just going to be the same. You know, we're just going to have to figure out, we're going to go to a different planet or whatever. We got to get out of here because this earth, really. That's another thing. Verse 5, for this they willfully forget that by the word of God the heavens were of old. The word of God. And the earth standing out of the water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished. Notice that. Being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth which are now are preserved by the same word. Notice that. They're preserved by the word of God. Are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Why are we still here? It's because not everybody that's going to believe has believed. The whole family has not come in yet. God's not just, you know, on lunch break and forgot he's off doing something and wait a minute. Wait, what time is it? Man, I got to get back. This is supposed to happen. No. Part of the family still needs to come in. And so we're here. But what God said will come to pass. Let's go back over to, on your sheet, Numbers 23:19. Read a few more scriptures across along this line. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? New Living Translation of the same verses, 23:19, said, God is not a man, so he does not lie. He is not human, so he does not change his mind. Has he ever spoken and failed to act? Has he ever promised and not carried it through? Malachi 3:6. For I am the Lord, I do not change. Just like what we read in James. There is no variation or shadow of turning with him. He is the same. He is the same. He is the same. He is the same God that we read about in these accounts. He's the same God that Moses served. He's the same God that Paul served. He's the same God that we look to now. Anything that we see in his word, any promise we see, anything that he's spoken to us is on the same solid ground as any of the patriarchs, any of the prophets, any of the apostles that you see. They could trust God's word, and we can do the same. It is on the same foundation. God has not changed. Not even a little bit. Not even a tiny bit. You talk about stability and security. There is no greater stability than relying on him. So what does that mean? If he told us something, that's it. I said, that's it. Well, but it doesn't look like such and such. I don't feel like such and such. What does that have to do with it? Who are we talking about? Our feeling is going to change the Almighty, what he said? The circumstances in the earth or some organization said such and such, so that's going to cancel out what the Almighty said? He was there before any institution in this world. They are very, very, very young compared to him. Yeah, but this place has been around for 300 years. 300 years? He's been around 300 millennia times infinity. I mean, our minds can't even comprehend the numbers I'm talking about. You can see them on paper, but we don't have any reference point. His word, when you talk about solid, I mean, it doesn't move at all. This, you'd say, is solid, but, you know, you drop a 500-pound weight on this thing, it's going to crumble. It's relatively solid. But it's not infinitely solid. Right? This floor seems pretty solid. This platform is solid. You know, it's got beams across there and insulation stuff. But again, you put a wrecking ball through that thing, it's done. There's nothing comparable to what I just said against God. He doesn't move. There is no force in the universe that can even make him move one fraction of a millimeter. Anything that goes up against him is going to splinter. That's how solid our foundation is with him. That's how solid his word is. If he said it, that's it. It cannot change. Yeah, but it doesn't look. What does that have? You're talking about a temporal thing on a planet that is relatively young. It is going to change and morph, and people come and go. And we're saying, but it doesn't look. Yeah, just wait. It doesn't look like it's going to happen. Just wait another few minutes, and it's all going to look different anyway. You know, think about, you got these photographs or, you know, videos that they're just taking a snapshot every little bit. You know, like I'm thinking of like a, you know, down a street in New York or something where it's just, you know, they take a snapshot every minute or something. You play it fast and the people are just going like this and the sun's going up and it's going down. It changes all the time, right? Just think of the world. That's what it looks like. Like right now. All over the world, people just change position. There's cars speeding down the interstate. There's planes moving right now. It's all different right now. It's all different right now. This world is temporal. It changes all. Just wait around. It'll change. We say that about the weather. You know, it's like 90 yesterday. It's only like, what, supposed to be 60-something today? But I just don't know. It'll never cool down again. What? Or it's never going to heat up again. What? How long you been around? Well, that's what God would say. Well, I don't know how we're ever going to get out of this. Well, honey, I said this would change. Just watch. But it doesn't look, yeah, it'll change. Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, what, this person said this. Who are they? We're talking about the most powerful being in the universe. He created the universe. It's not even in it. Next verse. Jeremiah 1, verse 4. Now this was before, when we read that verse, just can you put up Jeremiah 1:1 actually. When we read the first verse here, Jeremiah 1:12, I am ready to perform my word, that was after these verses. Jeremiah says, then the word of the Lord, okay, the words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests who were in Anathoth, in the land of Benjamin. Go to the next one. To whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the fifth month. Go ahead to the next one. This is where we wanted to get to. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, this is Jeremiah the prophet. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. Sanctified means to set apart. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Well, he's not born yet. You know how us say, well, somebody's not born yet. How can you know? You know how small of a span it is before somebody's born, like the year before they're born to where they're born? That's nothing. That's a year. Or 50 years into their life or 70, that's nothing. If you were to say this is their lifespan, going to the walls doesn't do infinity justice. It's, of course, that's way too big. God already knew what was coming. Here's a prophet that we read back and see the words he's written. Part of that was verse 12 where it says, I am ready to perform my word. This is what God told him. Here he is speaking to Jeremiah. God is saying, I formed you in the womb before I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. God said it. Now, he had to cooperate. But God's will. See, this is where people, we have to know, we need to cooperate with what he said. But what he said will come to pass. Like in the earth, Jesus is going to come back. Are we the ones that are going to help this get done?
Yes.
Are we the ones that are going to help the gospel being preached?
Yes.
So that Jesus can come back? Because you know what? It's not going to automatically happen. The idea is, are we going to be involved with it? Are we going to take our place and get involved with what God has ordained? Because you know what? There can be another generation come and go. But God has ordained, and he said, what God said, it will come to pass. People can scoff all they want and say, well, it's just always going to go on. No, it is not going to always go on. There is going to come a time when that trumpet sounds. Guys, you realize there is going to come a time when the rapture happens?
Yes.
Do you guys realize there's going to come a time when the trumpet sounds and the Lord Jesus comes back?
Yes.
And I have it on a different scripture. It's not on your sheet. God said every knee will bow.
Yes.
Every knee will bow before the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Even those that scoffed and said, I don't believe. They'll be on their knees. And at that point, they won't have any choice. We have a choice now. God's not going to make anyone believe. He could make himself evident. Could he not? In the world? He has purposefully not. He's revealed himself. I mean, people, what, who created all, you know, how did all this come to be? Well, it just happened. How can you look at what has happened? How can you look at a sunset? How can you look at a baby and say, oh yeah, that just happened? The human body, this knowing what we know about maintenance. If you're a homeowner, I mean, I spent a bunch of money to have a guy come in and clean up all the trees that had gotten messed up from that storm we had. And, you know, before that, when we first moved the house, I had to have somebody come up and get all the bittersweet taken out, or we're going to lose a lot of stuff. And if I don't keep that up, that place is going to be overgrown. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It does not maintain itself. It is not going, in my house, it's just going to, you know, morph into a marble mansion if I don't do anything, right? Are you kidding me? It's going to be run down, there are going to be holes in everything. It's just, but this machine that we live in, this just came to be, really. Or you could believe what God said, that he actually created it. Tell you what, after looking at my backyard, it takes more faith to believe that this body just happened than it does to believe there's some intelligent being that said, I'm going to create you. Yeah, more faith than I do. And you believe in something. Somebody's believing something. You know, the world is. And these are the ones that are scoffing. So no, We can believe God and we can be a part of what He's doing in the earth. Look at Romans 11, 29. Glory to God. Romans 11, 29. For the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. We just saw how God was speaking to Jeremiah. Do you realize, you know, you may not have something that's as spectacular as this, may not be called to the office of a prophet, but do you know everyone in here God has a plan for? Everybody. And as a child of God, God knows who will come in and believe Him before people do. And God has a calling. Here's the thing. Now I've looked at people's lives. I haven't studied it tons and tons, but I've looked at some people's lives, people's that were used greatly of God. And you can ask yourself the question, why them? And people do this all, you know, how? What? God knows the heart, and God knows who will respond to him. And He's God. You want to know that? Go ask Him. The Bible says the secret things belong to Him. We don't know everything. But He knows everything. And He asks each of us to do something. He doesn't force us to do it. But He has called us to do something. And those callings, like it says here, now He's talking about, you know, the Israel here, but this is applicable. The gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. Look at it in the Amplified. Same verse. For God's gifts and His call are irrevocable. What does that mean? He's not going to take it back. He never withdraws them once they are given, and He does not change His mind about those to whom He gives His grace or to whom He sends His call. You realize you can reject the call of God? Do you realize when it says His grace, He gives His grace, you realize that's enablement? You can't do anything for God without His help. Now, people do stuff in the natural all the time, and it is not going to be what it ought to be if it's not done in His strength. But do you realize He calls, He has called each individual person in here to do something? And you realize there's a grace, an enablement, a strength that goes with it to do that only you can do. Now here's the thing. If we don't get involved in it, somebody else will. You know, do you realize God calls people to do certain things, but if they don't respond, because He will not force anyone to do anything. Number one, He will not force people to get born again. If He won't force you to get born again, that's the most important thing. That's eternity. He's not going to force you to do anything for Him. But do you realize we can be called and yet somebody, God could ask to do something and they don't do it? That doesn't mean the plan of God will not happen. That means He's going to ask somebody else. Reminds me of what Jesus was talking about the parable with the wedding, inviting people. People wouldn't go. And finally he said, just go get. The head would say, go get, just pull people off. Just invite whoever you see. Many are called, but few are chosen. People are called, but they don't qualify. They disqualify themselves. Do you realize we can disqualify ourselves from doing what God had called us to do?
Yeah.
But you know, here's the thing. If God has called us to do some, if we will agree with Him and just fall into line, you realize the grace is there to do it. But we have a choice. And He does not change. If He called us to do something, you know that call is still there. And I'm talking about anything. It's not just ministry gifts. Whatever you're called to do. Called, you realize people are called to own businesses. People are called to be engineers. You say, how is that? Go look at the Old Testament. You know, I don't have time to get into it now, but when they were building the temple, it said the Spirit of God was on certain people to do certain things. They were gifted artisans, gifted people to do what God had called them to do. He put that ability in them. The grace of God was upon them to do that, and He won't change it. You know what? It doesn't matter if we try to get out and try to say, well, I don't like that. I want to do something else. You know what? That doesn't change Him. And it won't. You cannot get into something else that you're not called to do. You can do it. It won't go the way God would have it to go. You can't change the grace that's on you. He gave it. He said, son, daughter, this is what I've called you to do. You can't go over and say, well, I really don't like that. I want to do this. You say, who would do that? People do it all the time. But the thing is, there's no enablement over here. It's only in what He told us to do. But the good news is, you know, that's a side of it, but that's not what I want to focus on. God, who does not change, who does not lie, has called and shown each of us and told, He has purposed each of us to do something and to be a part of something. Yes. To be part of what? His plan. Mm-hmm. Yes. And He doesn't change. Look at, can you put up Luke 21:33? Notice this. Heaven and earth will pass away. Will. But my words will by no means pass away. He does not change. What He said and what He called, what He told us, called us to do, will not change. You know, and God is very patient. What is the first verse we read? He is ready to perform His word. He's ready. He's ready to do what He said He would do. And if He called us to do something, then He is ready to do the part of the plan that is now. Listen to me. That doesn't mean the whole plan now. How would that happen? If He's called you to do something for your whole life, and it's a path, how is He going to get the thing that you're supposed to do when you're 80 done that when you're 10? Because if He's called you to do something, and part of doing that is getting on a track to where you can handle what's going on at 70, how? Some people are like, I want it now. That's not the way God operates. But just because we don't see it right now, you will see the part that you're supposed to be doing right now. And He is not putting off that part. He's ready now. Y'all with me?
Yes.
Look at this next verse. I know I'm just for the sake of time, I have a lot. I had you turn to a few things, but you know, you can look them up at home too. Habakkuk 2. Now, actually, before that, let's go with what we'll come back to that. Psalm 139. Look at this. Then we'll come back there. Psalm 139. Psalm 139:13. For you formed my inward parts, you covered me in my mother's womb. This goes right along with what we just read in Jeremiah. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance, yet being unformed, And in your book, they all were written the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. You go back to the first part of 16. Can you put that up, Isaac? 16. In your book, they were all written. What? The days that he's fashioned. Does that mean he's already preordained everything? No. We talked about that. We're not going to go into that. He hasn't preordained. We have a choice. But he has a will. And he has a path. And he has a call for every person. And here it says, they were all written down before we were ever breathing on this earth. Who are we talking about here that saw this? And in your, whose book is this? Tell me. It's Almighty. Who's that? This is the one we've been talking about. That there is no shadow of change. This is the one that's stable beyond imagination. And he said, I've called you to do something. And what I've called you to do, it's written out. It was written out before I lived one day. See, he knows. He knows what we're capable of. He knows where the fault lines are in our life. He knows what needs to be taken care of before you get to certain parts in the book. You know what a lot of people want to do? They want to jump to the end of the book. They don't want to mess with the first few chapters.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Anybody else impatient sometimes?
Yeah.
Huh? Human nature.
Yeah.
Just talk to any child. Talk to an 8-year-old. In fact, I got an 8-year-old right now that's going to turn 9 in a little bit. And I hear frequently how many days are left till that happens. Frequently. And it's a big deal. That day, I mean, there's not probably, you know, we're talking about the prime of birthday celebrating here. You know, when you're 2, you don't know what's going on. When you're, you know, 16, 17, 18, yeah, it's cool it's your birthday, but, you know, you're not inviting all your friends over or stuff. To the birthday and the gift giving gets to where it reaches a peak, and we're kind of in somewhere in that bell curve where you know how many days, you know it's going to be a big deal, and after that, I mean, you're 9. Woo! And that's a big deal. And you know, once you get to a certain point, that's not the way you look at birthdays. You might enjoy them, but you're not like, I'm going to have all my friends over and we're going to have cake and then I'm, you know, 45 or whatever. That's my next one. But there's something about kids. I want to get to that next spot, and I want to get out of college, and then I want to get to be married, and I want to get that first job, and I want to move and have the kids and get them out of house. And we're always looking, but you know what? We only have so many days on this earth. Now, they're not preordained. I'm not going to get into that. There is one time for men to die, not a time. God does not go, oh, time's up, you're out of here. Because a lot of people, you know, people can make foolish decisions, and it comes a lot earlier. You know?
Yeah.
Anybody in here, you could go, take the cover off that socket, rip it open, stick your finger in there, and you might have your day come a lot sooner. That didn't mean God's timetable just moved up. You know, people do all kinds of crazy things. Well, the Lord took them. Well, the Lord did not take them. They decided to do something that was really dumb.
Yeah.
You know, somebody was telling the story, you know, about certain things, but they, you know, it ended up saying, you know, it's amazing how many fewer people God takes when people just obey safety laws. You know? Well, God just took them. It was their time. Well, that, and they did something really dumb that they should have known better. I'm not judging anybody. I'm just saying, let's not make that all up to God. But we only have so much time. And we have a race to run. And God has written it in His book. And God, who knows the end from the beginning? And He has something in chapter 1. Was that not important? Is chapter 1 not? Well, no, the meat of it is in chapter, 28 or, however the chapters would be. This is the good meat. Well, you're going to skip this? See, people do that with books. I'm going to skip to the end and read the good part. People do that with lives, They say, well, I want to get to the good part. Well, what? For one, if you do that with a book, you don't know what the heck came before. You can't even understand the good part because you didn't read all the other part, right? God has ordained, I'm pointing at the back screen, in the book, they were all written, the day's fashion. He's got a will, but it's not all mashed into one day. He's ready now to perform the word that He's given and the will that He has for you now. See, people get a glimpse of what He has coming from Him, and they're like, I want that. You can't handle that. And if you don't get stuff now, you're not gonna be where you need. Some of those fault lines need to be shored up because there's gonna be pressure in certain places. And what you have, in chapter whatever, later chapter, if you don't deal with chapter 4, the way it's written is not the way it's gonna go down. But that doesn't change that God has called and ordained something to happen. And so many times we're saying, God, when? God, when? And He's saying, live chapter 4. I'm ready to do chapter 4, honey. I'm not ready to do 56. Let's concentrate on chapter 4. Amen. Yeah, but who? Who are you butting? God? Does He know what He's doing or not? Does He? Yeah, but I just don't understand. What does that have to do with it? There's a whole lot of stuff I don't understand, you don't understand, right? The thing is, do we think He understands? Praise God. Let's read this next scripture. We're wrapping up. Habakkuk 2, verse 2.
It says, then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Now look at this in the New Living Translation, a little bit clearer. Then the Lord said to me, write my answer plainly on tablets so that a runner may carry the correct message to others. This vision is for a future time. It describes the end, and it will be fulfilled. If it seems slow in coming, wait patiently, for it will surely take place. It will not be delayed. It will not be delayed. God is working on the thing that He has for now. And He is not slow in what He has for now.
He is ready to perform His word now. If it's in the word and we know it, then we receive it now and we say it's done, regardless of what it looks like. We say it's done now and we believe. For things that we got a glimpse of what He's doing, we have to be able to discern timing. That is important. People miss timing. They get a glimpse of what, but they miss the time. And you can be trying to do the right thing at the wrong time, and it becomes the wrong thing. And then people are frustrated because they wonder, where is God? I thought this is what God wanted me to do, or what? And the thing is, God has a path. God has a timetable. And just like this said, certain things are for certain times. They will not be delayed. But if it's not for now, you can't try to live something later now. God has now, and He is ready to do what He is calling you to do now. And sometimes it takes humility and it takes patience to do the now. But make no mistake, God has not changed and He has not checked out. He has not failed you. He has not delayed. He has not checked out, but God is faithful. He is faithful and He is right on time. Always. Always. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Always. He's ready. He's ready. Everybody say, He's ready.
He's ready.
Everybody say, He knows
where I'm at.
And He's ready to do what I need and what He told me now.
Now.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. You receive that?
Yes.
Praise you, Lord.